We're going to do a new little series for the next 4 weeks. Then I'll pass the torch to Brother Chester. I entitled this The Lost Age of Accountability and for the series. And tonight, how do we get in this mess? Most of us in here are seniors. Were any of you in the 60s hippies? A few hippies. I knew Sister Susan was a hippie. Yeah. There was a song in 1964 by Bob Dylan. Here's what it said. Gather around people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown. And accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. They definitely are changing. They change so quickly, rapidly. I was thinking about this this week, since the war going on over in Iran, how wars have changed over the years and how we fight wars. I didn't know some of this, and I don't know the extent of it. I'll just read the statistics. The United States has engaged in over 100 foreign interventions in major conflicts since 1776. 12 major wars, but they said since 1798 there have been over 460 documented military interventions. That's a lot. Of course, the major conflicts, Revolutionary War, the Civil War, Indian Wars, Korean War, Vietnam, Persian War, First and Second World War, Vietnam War, 9/11 or Afghan and Iraq, they call them forever wars, and so forth. And here's another thing they said. The U.S. has been in a state of conflict for the vast majority of its history, with one analysis suggesting over 225 years of war out of 250 being a nation. Now, that's not just all-out fighting like we're thinking of, but we're involved in some way. And so I looked at this. Over 1.3 million American service members have died in the major wars since 1775. The Civil War, of course, North and South, between 620 and 655,000 Americans died. World War II, from 41 to 45, 405,399. World War I, from 1917-1918, 116,516. Vietnam War, 1965-1973, 58,220. Korean War, 1950 to 53, 36,574. And the American Revolutionary War, 1775 to 1783, they said between 4,500 and 2,500. They're a little bit sketchy on how many died there, but you know, we've got Vietnam vets in here. When they fought over there, just reading about it, y'all could tell me for sure, they fought in jungles and rice fields, extreme heat, malaria, leeches, landmines, shrapnel, Agent Orange, you know, that was a herbicide for killing vegetation and stuff, guerrilla-type warfare, ambushes, booby traps, and so forth. And now we watch this war on TV today. I say on TV like we're going home to watch a Western or something. But all these, right now there's nobody on the ground, no ground troops. We're doing it all in the air, and we've taken out something like 20 of their ships. The Navy's pretty much gone. Precision bombing from hundreds of miles away, we can put it on the target. We're not just like flying over, dropping bombs, and they're flying out in the fields and things like that. We're putting it right where we want to put it. And so much going on with drones and AI and lasers and cybersecurity and everything. We know everything going on pretty much, and here it is, been what, 5 or 6 days or however long, 4 days, and a lot of damage has been done and not much loss of life on our end anyway. A lot of changes. Changes in America the last century. Let me just show you some changes, and we're going to get to our topic. It's going to be a little longer introduction. In the last roughly 100 years, from 1900 or 1920 to today, America's grown from 92 million people to over 340 million people. Population of Florida back in around 100 years ago, we were 33rd in the nation in size. Now we're number three. We zip right on up. We're just behind California and Texas. Whereas people like states like Iowa 100 years ago, they were 10th in the nation. Now they're 30th. They've gotten smaller. Everybody's grown up around them. Just show you how the demographics are changing around us, even though we know it, but we don't realize it sometimes. Those 65 years old and older, in 1900, it made up 4% of our population. In 1990, it made up 12.6%. Today, it's 18%. Our population is getting much older. In 1950, one-person households made up only 10% of our nation. Today, it's 30% of our nation. Population diversity. In 1900, 88% of our country was white. Today, 58% of our country is white. In 1900, Hispanic made up 0.6% of our nation. In 2022, it's 20% of our nation. Blacks in 1900 was 11.6%. Today, it's about 12%. It hasn't changed percentage-wise. Asian in 1900 made 3% of our nation. Today, it's 7%. It's estimated by 2050, whites will make up less than 50% of the nation, 46 to 49.5%. Hispanic will be 25 to 29%. Black 13 to 14%. Asian about 9%. How many counties are in the state of Florida?
67.
There you go, 67. Where does Levy County rank in population? We rank 44th. With a population, the last census a year or two ago, or last time they took a record, was 44,276. Now, in our county, is 76.2% white, 10.2% Hispanic, 8.1% black, 0.9% Asian, and then 0.5% other. Florida grew from 1980 to 2020 at 14.6%. Levy County grew at 5%. The population density of Florida is about 436 people per square mile. Levy County is only 41 people per square mile. Thank the Lord for that. percent of poverty in Florida, 12.1%. live below the poverty line. In Levy County, it's 17.6%. The unemployment rate in Florida is 4%. In Levy County, it's 4.7%. This is kind of, you wouldn't think it maybe, but quality of life, the crime situation. In Florida, people in prison or whatever, is 2,158 per 100,000 people. If you were to break it down in Levy County, that's 2,626 per 100,000 people. So we got a higher rate than the state. Health insurance, under 65, 86.6% have health insurance. In Levy County, 82.9%, a little less than the Florida average. People got a college education, bachelor's degree in Florida, it's 34.1%. In Levy County, it's 16.5%, which that ain't necessarily a bad thing, is it? 97.2% of the residents in Levy County are U.S. citizens. The estimated median household income in 2023 in Florida was $73,311. This is the household. In Levy County, it was $55,005. In crime statistics, Levy County in 2024, we had 3 murders, 13 rapes, 2 robberies, 89 assaults, 99 burglaries, 152 thefts, and 6 auto thefts. The male population in Williston back in last year or two was 1,398, which makes up 47% of Williston, and the females make up 53%. So there's more women running loose than there are men here in Williston. Anyway, things change over time. Ocala was? Still up there, isn't it? I don't doubt it. I mentioned something Sunday about phone booths. And Mike Owens came up to him and reminded me, he said, "You know, all these young people don't know what a phone booth is." I said, "Yeah, you know, I ain't thought about that, but that's true." Let me tell you what people that's 20 years old, like those kids over there and under, what they don't know that we've lived through. They don't know a life where you can't reach one another 24/7 because everybody's got a phone and so forth. They don't know what an answer machine is. You know, you used to run home and see if you had any answers on your answer machine. They really don't know what a phone book is. They don't know what it means to have long-distance charges or collect calls. Remember you had to make collect calls? Or the rotary phones? They don't remember what dial-up internet was. Remember how that, all that kind of noise? VHS tapes and VCRs. They don't know what that is. Video rental stores. People used to go to Blockbusters on Friday night and rent them a movie and all that kind of stuff. They don't know what it's like to have to take pictures with your camera and then take it down there to the drugstore or whoever and wait to see what the pictures look going to come out looking like. Don't know what it is? A party line. That's a good point. They don't know what encyclopedias are, more than likely. That's true, too. I don't know if it happens near as much as it used to, but stores always closed on Sunday. I've seen, like I remember, a lot of stores in Williston closed on Thursday at lunch.
Yep.
Y'all remember that? Was it Wednesday? Okay, I knew it was one day during the middle of the week. Yeah. They don't know what it's like. Remember the phrase, be kind, rewind? That was turning in your video rentals and stuff like that. Smoking in restaurants, a smoking section or whatever. They don't know what it's like to get lost without help. Now that you've got GPSs, now you don't even have to stop and ask a stranger for directions anymore. They don't know what life was like when you could do stupid stuff and nobody had a camera to film all of it. They don't know what it's like that somebody call you and you don't really know who it is calling you. Now you pretty much do a lot of times. They say they don't know what a cassette tape is or things like that, but they say cassette tapes is coming back. Did y'all know that? That's making a comeback. Do y'all remember when they came out with canned sodas and the pop top, the whole pop top came off instead of still hooked on there with it? They probably don't know what typewriters are. Remember making copies, you had to use the old carbon paper and things like that. Things have changed a lot and things change quickly. If you don't believe that, look at our church directory. And a lot of people aren't in there anymore. A lot of people are going on to be with Jesus. And that's just the way it is. I was thinking about Scott and them city planners and people like that. You can't plan for 5 years down the road. You got to plan for 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever, but it's hard to plan for 50 now. Things change so quickly. But anyway, here's how things have changed in the family. The nuclear family, 50 years ago, a family where the husband was the breadwinner, the wife stayed home, and they had at least two kids, that fit 75% of the models in America. Today, it's only 10% that fit that model. When the Vietnam War was going on, they had a total of 7 or 8 journalists over there covering the war. Now, when they had the Gulf War, over 700 journalists over there covering the war. We had more journalists over there than we had people fighting, I think. Anyway, things have changed. One of the things that's changed a lot, I think, in our country is we live in a time where nobody's held accountable much anymore. One of the most frustrating things to me is to watch all those politicians up there in Washington and all the things going on. All to be under a jail, not in a jail. And nothing ever comes. Nobody gets held accountable. Somebody said one time, it's hard to get a hog to butcher itself. And when you got a bunch of politicians up there that are all about as crooked as the other, they ain't going to tell on each other because it comes back to them. Anyway. Here's a topic tonight we're going to start off with on this subject. And this is one that bothers most everybody. And I'm going to try to answer it. It's still hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp that there's eternity in hell. That's hard to grasp, somebody's suffering eternity in hell. It's also hard to grasp what's going to happen to those who hadn't heard about Jesus. What are they going to be held accountable when they didn't hear the message of Jesus? And that's kind of what we're going to start off with here tonight in this topic. All right, we're in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll kind of break it off piece by piece. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's the word you need to, they don't have an excuse. That's going to be hard to swallow for a lot of people. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Okay, let's look at the book of Romans. First of all, I'll give you a little background on that. The book of Romans, probably the best book in the Bible for just basic doctrines. I'm talking about doctrines like justification, sanctification, adoption, judgment, sovereignty of God, on things like this. It's kind of a logical explanation of the Christian faith more than just about any book. It also has made more impact on some of the great Christians than any other book in the Bible. Augustine was converted while reading Romans. Martin Luther, the one who started the Protestant Reformation, he started it based on Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. That was the seed that God put in his heart that he came out with. John Wesley, the head of the Methodist Church, was converted while listening to somebody read Luther's commentary on Romans. John Bunyan was in Bedford Jail, and he was reading the book of Romans, and it motivated him to write Pilgrim's Progress. So if you're going to master any one book in the Bible, the Romans would be a good one. It'll open up more of God's plan than just about any of them. Now, Paul starts off in Romans, we didn't read it, verse 16, how he was not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and he was not ashamed. And then all of a sudden, not long after that, it takes a different turn. It starts talking about the wrath of God and how people have rejected God and all this kind of stuff. Now, a lot of people don't like to talk about the wrath of God much or the judgment of God, but it's important to know that. That's why the gospel is such good news. That's where we were headed, and God has rescued us and saved us and delivered us from that. So if you don't understand the wrath of God, you won't appreciate the cross of Christ and what he's done for us. Okay, so anyway, let's just kind of take it a little bit at a time and go through this and try to deal with a very difficult subject. What about those who've never heard the gospel message? All right, so first of all, they knew God. Let's look at verse, Well, I'll come to it in just one second. We're going to take it. It's going to be 18 through 20. God is holy. God is just. God, he has the wrath of God is hanging over mankind. Now, we think of God's love and we think of God's grace, and he is. He's merciful and loving, but he's also just, and he's holy. The three-letter word in this passage right here, I don't know if you can put it up there, Eric. I didn't put it up there on the screen, but if you can put up like where we started reading it, I'll read verse 18 from that. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. But you need to circle the word all. It includes all, not just some. Now, he has revealed himself from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. How did he reveal himself? There's two ways God has revealed himself to man, even beyond hearing the gospel message, to where man doesn't have an excuse, according to Romans. One, he revealed it to his conscience. Look at verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Okay, he has revealed himself to man in their conscience in some way. How many of you, I know John Hubbard is knows Disney, but how many of y'all know what Disney movie it was that somebody said, let your conscience be your guide? Who's that? Jiminy Cricket. That's exactly it. You know what the movie was? Pinocchio. It was Pinocchio. Let your conscience be your guide. Well, that was, I know that was in Pinocchio. There's something within all mankind that realizes there's a God. There's something beyond man. You know, when a plane crashes, they always go in there and get the black box, and they try to find that black box. It never seems to get destroyed. Somebody said they ought to make the planes out of that black box material. But they try to get that black box so they can see if they can hear something so they can determine what caused the plane crash. They're looking at the internal, what the pilots were saying or something like that. Well, God has put a black box in all of us called a conscience in some way to where man knows there's something beyond him. Now, what is a conscience? That's a good question, and that's hard for us to sometimes define. Somebody put it this way, it's our moral awareness. One boy said, your conscience is what makes you tell your mama before your sister can get there and tell her. If somebody said, it's our individual value system. It allows us to evaluate ourselves. Now, another definition, the inward voice that entreats us to believe what is right and restrains us to do, restrains us from doing what we believe is wrong. Another definition, the human faculty that judges our actions and thoughts by the light of the highest standard we perceive. When you violate your conscience, even if you're not a Christian, I'm not saying your conscience makes you a Christian, anything like that, but that's that internal right or wrong that is shaped a lot of times by how you grew up. If you didn't grow up around the Bible, you still have a sense of right and wrong and things like that. But if you violate your conscience, what you know you shouldn't be doing, it leads to things like guilt, anguish, regret, disgrace, fear, things like that. If you follow your conscience and do what you feel like you know is right to do, it brings joy, serenity, self-respect, well-being, gladness, and things like this. So we all have a conscience. It holds us accountable to the highest standard of right and wrong that we know. Now, your conscience can be seared. Your conscience can be wounded. Your conscience can be calloused and things like that. But we all have a conscience. I've heard most missionaries I've ever talked to, they say any group they go to, they may not know Jesus Christ, but they believe in some kind of higher being. Might be a totem pole or whatever, but there's some kind of higher power. The conscience comes into play a lot of time for us as Christians, even though our conscience should be geared by the Word of God. But there's some things in the Word of God that's not spelled out, so we have to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our conscience or whatever. For example, these are things that you can't find in the Scriptures, but you got to make decisions. I call it the gray areas a lot of times. Whether you're going to send your kids to public school or a home school or a Christian school. Now, that's something the Bible doesn't spell out. You got to make that decision. Whether you think it's rock music is okay, or and is Christian rock music okay, or whatever. Should you watch this movie or that movie? In the Bible, they had to go by their conscience. Should you eat meat that had been offered to an idol? And a lot of people were saying you should not eat something that was offered to an idol. And others said it's okay, it's just meat. I ain't worshiping an idol, I'm just eating the meat. And so these are gray areas. A lot of times your conscience kind of has to lead you. I don't believe there's atheism. People that don't believe in any God at all, I think that's more of a modern day concept. Everybody on the earth believes there's something out there pretty much, except people now that have gotten so smart. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, and there is none who does good. So atheists, they're called fools, but really what that scripture really is saying, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God I'm going to have to give an account to. It doesn't necessarily believe there's no God out there, but just believes God's not paying attention to them, and they just go about their life and don't think they'll ever answer to him. But anyway, your conscience, he says, God has placed something where everybody knows something within. It's not going to save you, but it's enough to condemn you. You don't have an excuse on that regard. Here's the second thing he says that he's revealed himself to man. It's through his creation. Let's read verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. We're talking about God. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All right, so God says, I've revealed myself in every man in one way or another, and I've revealed myself through my creation. You can look at this creation. How has God's creation revealed God to us? Well, many ways. Let me give you a little illustration. I told this to the men one Tuesday night. There was a guy, a professor at a college, was an atheist. He didn't believe in God at all. And his good friend was another professor, science professor, and he was a born-again Christian. And he couldn't convince this atheist that there was a God at all. And so anyway, one day he was in there, and he'd been working on this for days and days and days. He created the planets, the planetary system. He had the sun. It was about the size of a softball or something, and he had all the planets that revolved around the sun, how far they were and about what size the planets were, and he had it plugged in where he could turn it on, and they would be rotating and spinning and all this kind of stuff, and it like the universe looks. Well, his atheist professor came in there and said, man, that's really nice. Who did that? Did you do that? He said, no. He said, well, then who did? He said, I don't know. He said, somebody put a lot of work into this. This is amazing. He said, I'll tell you who did it. He said, who? He said, nobody. I just come in here, it was like this. He said, that's stupid. Somebody did this. He said, no, it ain't no more stupid. You believe in all this here, and nobody did it. And nobody created this and all this. He said, so creation screams at us that there is a God, and he put all this together. Here's what makes creation speak loudly that there's a God. One is the vastness of it. Listen to this. These are things I looked up, but I can't comprehend it. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. So in other words, in 1 second, the speed of light could go around the earth probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in 1 second. That's how fast it's moving. All right. We live in the Milky Way galaxy. If you go at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, it would take you 125,000 years to go across the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy is only one of millions of galaxies. I can't comprehend something that big. I can't even begin to. Here's something, the other extreme, the minute detail of creation. You could take a drop of water, take an eyedropper and take one drop of water. It has three atoms in it, H2O, two hydrogen, one oxygen. If you take all the molecules in one drop of water and blew them up to where each molecule in that drop was the size of a grain of sand, it would make a road 1 foot thick, a half a mile wide from Los Angeles to New York. I can't comprehend stuff like that. Here's a design. The average farmer in Minnesota gets about 40 inches of rain a year. That comes out to about 407,510 gallons of water per acre, free of charge, when it rains. God has revealed himself so much through his creation. Conscience and creation are two of the ways God has revealed himself to us. But man has taken that revelation and pushed it to the side. And so let's keep going here. When God has revealed himself, Paul says, they glorified him not as God. All right? They were indifferent to him. Look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, all right, so this is people, they knew there was a God, but they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay, they didn't honor him as God. The reason man has never honored God, because man wants to be God. That was the first temptation when Satan came in the garden and tempted Adam and Eve. He said, man, you can eat of that because as soon as you eat it, you're going to be like God. Man's always wanted to be God. He don't want to have to answer to God. He wants to run his own life. He wants to call the shots. He wants to set his own rules. And that's the way it's always been. There's a lot of things in our society the last 100 years that's helped suppress the truth about God. One is evolution, to believe that man has evolved over time and there wasn't no creator that created this or anything like this. Another thing is secular humanism. That's a belief that's come up in the last century and a half or century. And that runs rampant in our educational system in a lot of different ways. But anyway, we won't go into that. All right, so man did not recognize and honor him as God because he just pushed him aside. And so man became ignorant, darkened. Look at verse 22. There it is. So professing to be wise, man thought he was so wise he could push God out of it. He became a fool. When society or where people begin to reject the God that's been revealed to them, they look very foolish. They have nothing to guide their decisions, their thoughts. That's one thing I notice about our society today. The smarter we become, the lack of common sense anybody got. There's just no common sense anymore. Listen to this. A school nurse cannot give aspirin to a child without parental consent. But many places they can send the child to get an abortion and don't tell the parents. Now, that's good common sense, isn't it? Across state line. I don't doubt it. But there's so much today that just says, man, I can't even believe people think like this. It just doesn't even, their heart's so darkened or whatever. Back in 94 when the Rodney King Reginald Denny, not Rodney King, I don't think. It might have been Rodney King. They were beating up the guy in the truck. They pulled him out of the truck. The jury acquitted those people that beat him up, hit him with bricks and everything, because they decided that they were caught up in the mayhem of the moment, not responsible for their actions. So they didn't have to. So once again, once you start rejecting light and God and stuff, your stupidity really comes out more and more. Next thing it goes to, it goes from indifference to ignorance to idolatry. Okay? And they change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Okay? That looks like idolatry, doesn't it? They start making a God in their own image. The creation makes or creates their own God, so to speak. Now, I'm somebody, I love homemade food. Homemade to me is so much better than packaged or processed stuff and all that. It's just so much better. Well, we're talking about man over his life, over the creation, comes up with a homemade God. You hear it all the time. The God that I believe in or the God that I serve does this or that. See, they've got their own image of what God is to them. They don't care what the God has been revealed in the Bible. They got their own image. But anyway, so they worship the creature instead of the creator. And that's why people, we get to the point where people would rather worship Mother Earth than Father God. You know, there's just no level to the darkness of mankind. Okay? So anyway, they continue down this path. Then they start changing the truth about God. Look at verse 24. He gives them over to insatiable lust. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So they suppress the truth, change the truth, and it just gets worse than that. I was going to read you some things I'd read. Shows you how man is depraved. In Spartanburg, South Carolina, David Crenshaw owned 7 movie theaters. And in August of 1998, he vowed he wasn't going to show any more R-rated shows on his movie theaters. That lasted 5 months. And then... 5 months. I'm surprised it lasted that long. Lasted 5 months, and then, of course, they couldn't survive without it. Do y'all remember this old movie about the Civil War called Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
What was the big thing that was so controversial about that? The first cuss word in a movie. People would come just to, couldn't believe it. They wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
And they can get all they want now. It's a lot more than cuss words now. If you ever watched the movie called Apollo 13, that's a pretty good movie. It was about they were trying to go to the moon after it had already been to the moon. They were going there to collect some rocks and different things. Jim Lovell, Fred Hayes, and Jack Swigert. Well, that movie had a pretty good message and everything in it, but it had a little bit of cussing in it and so forth. But Jim Lovell, he said, I went and checked the original transcript of everything, all the communication we had with Houston and all through that trip. There was not one cuss word. They just put cuss words in there to make it where people could relate to it. And so even when they didn't cuss, they were putting them in there. Anyway, it just shows you how our society just continues to go spiral downward. Now, I won't even go into... the perversion of verses 26 through 32. I could read it to you. Everybody knows, but there's no limit to where man will go. All right, so, but we're getting back to this thing about, all right, people that don't know God, they've rejected God, rejected their conscience leading them to God. They rejected his creation and how he's revealed himself, and man's life gets darkened. When people talk about what is going to happen to people that have never received Jesus, what we're struggling with, whether you admit it or not, you're struggling with the concept, is God fair? It just doesn't seem that God is fair to send people to hell that haven't heard about Jesus. And Jesus is the only one to get you to heaven. Now you think about that. That is hard to wrap your hand around it. First of all, God doesn't do things fairly like we think is fair. I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. Luke 12:48, he says, to whom much is given, much will be required. In other words, you've been given better opportunities, better gifts, talents, or whatever. You're going to have more required of you than somebody that doesn't have as much. Okay? Just like the talents, not really fair. This isn't fair. How come some people live to be 100 years old and some die when they're 10? That ain't fair. God's going to have to answer for that. He's not being fair. How come I heard the gospel 250 times and I give my heart to the Lord on the 250th time, and somebody else has only heard the gospel 5 times and they died, they didn't get to hear it as many times as I got to hear it? That ain't fair. He heard it that day. That's right. So what we're struggling with, we're saying, is just for people not to have heard about Jesus and to go to hell, it is not a fair, doesn't sound fair to us. And that's what we're trying to bring God down into our way of thinking. So here's what people do to try to make up for that. They, first of all, they try to do away with hell and things like that, because that's the only way they can grasp it. So the elimination of hell is one thing. That's why there's a big teaching now still going on that people that are lost, they get annihilated, they just cease to exist, but they don't go to any kind of eternal punishment. There's another doctrine that's pretty prominent in many places called inclusivism that says there's more than one road to heaven. This is the way people deal with this one subject we're dealing with. These other people, they're sincere in what they believe. I believe that counts. They might be worshiping some other god, but in their mind, they're worshiping the only God they know. God takes that in, and God accepts that. Now, it goes against the scriptures, because Peter said there's salvation in no other name. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. The Bible doesn't teach that all religious roads go to heaven. If it did, that's one thing, but it's very exclusive. Here's another thing that's come up to try to deal with this concept. It's called universalism. It's a concept that says everybody eventually will be saved when it's all said and done. And that's saying God's love is going to override his justice. Yeah, God's just and he's holy, but he loves man too much. He's going to eventually, he's soft-hearted. He's going to say, well, I know I should do this, but I love people too much. And so we come up with all these things to try to deal with something that we can't comprehend. And here's another thing that some people go by. If people don't know, haven't heard about Jesus, so they're not going to be held accountable. And here's the scripture they use for that. Jesus said this, if you don't know, it isn't held against you, is what they're thinking. He said this, if I had not come and spoken unto them, the world, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin, because I've exposed it, in other words, to them. Now, if you really believe that, if people don't know, then they're not going to be held accountable. Why in the world are we trying to send missions around the world? Why don't we just let them stay in darkness and they at least go to heaven one day? They might not have the greatest life here, but they're going to go to heaven because they don't know any better. That none of those things make sense, but that's man's way of trying to deal with a very difficult, how are people going to be held accountable that never heard about Jesus? I'm going to try to give you the best way I can explain it to you. It's not going to satisfy you maybe, but that's the best we can do. Okay. There's a large group of people who have heard, they're going to be judged by how they responded to the message. Here's what the Bible says in John 12:48. This is what Jesus said. He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one who judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So he says, if you've heard about me and rejected and didn't receive me, you're going to stand before the judge. Matthew 10:33 says, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So there's a group of people that's heard, and they rejected it, and they're going to have to answer for it. We all can believe that, and we all tend to believe that. That's a large group of people. There's a smaller group of people. That's the one we're dealing with tonight. What's going to happen to these people? First of all, how did they respond to the evidence they were given? Romans 1:20 says, if they've looked at creation and they've rejected their conscience and all, it's enough to condemn them. Not enough to save them, but it's enough to condemn them. Listen to this in Romans 2:14-16. Indeed, Gentiles who do not have the law, Gentiles, they didn't know nothing about the law and Moses and all that, do by nature the things required of the law. They are a law for themselves, even though they have not the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day of judgment when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ. So once again, you're going to have to give an account for what you did with your conscience and God's revealing himself to you. Now, this is one thing I will say. I do believe the Bible teaches, this is another thing that helps me get through some of it. I do believe there's going to be different degrees of hell, different degrees of punishment. Somebody has never heard the gospel versus this and that. I'm going to leave that in the hands of God. I do believe that. It's taught in the Bible. Okay, let me read you the two scriptures again. I'm going to start winding this down. Let me give you the two scriptures that we're dealing with here, Romans 1:20 and Romans 2:1. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, he says, if you've looked at the world and all creation and you don't see the Creator, you're without excuse. Next one, verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. So once again, he keeps using that word inexcusable. I'm going to tell you the four things that help me with this difficult topic about people that haven't heard about Jesus. Number one, we're all guilty. All mankind is guilty. Nobody can say, I'm not guilty. Nobody can say that we're good or anything like that. So everybody deserves hell. Hopefully everybody can understand that. So if people haven't heard, they still deserve hell. We deserve it too. We just found Jesus. So it's not like somebody's not getting something they don't deserve. Here's the second thing. God is just. You've got to believe God's just. If we don't believe God's a judge, a true and just God, then we've got a problem. God will never send anybody to hell unjustly. The judge of the earth will do right. Number three, you've got to realize this. We're relying on the characteristic of who God is. God is loving. He loves those people more than we love those people. You got to understand that. Here's what he said in Ezekiel 33:11. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If it breaks anybody's heart, it's breaking God's heart. So he's going to be just, and he loves them more than anybody. Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4, he will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, that's the heart of God. God will also make a way. This is what I truly believe. Cornelius, in the book of Acts, was a good man. He was a Gentile. He prayed, he gave alms, and God sent an angel to him and said, we see you're a good man. But he had to call for Peter to come and preach the gospel to him, and he got saved. I really believe those whose heart is open through creation and all and got a heart that says God reveals, I believe God somehow or another reveals himself to them in some way. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't understand what he was reading, coming across the desert, been worshiping God, and God took Philip out there, he led him to the Lord and baptized him and so forth. I really believe God that is just and a God that's loving, he's going to be pursuing those whose heart is open toward him. Once again, we've got a concept, it's not fair. Let me ask you this. If I got a son that's playing baseball, and he only gets up to bat three times, and your son got to bat four times, I could say, that's not fair. My son didn't get to hit as much as yours did. That's stupid, but that's what some people might think. It just doesn't seem, we're not all on the same playing field. Or look at it this way. if I pull a $10 bill out of my wallet and give it to Perry, have I been unfair to y'all because I didn't give all y'all one?
Yeah.
I knew I shouldn't have said that. But I'm saying we can't hold God to what our concept of fairness is. Just believe that He is just, He is more loving, and He will do whatever He can to pursue those that are lost. So nobody's going to get anything done that's mistreated. Yes, that's right. That's right.
He's an extreme God.
Here's the thing. Here's a better question. Is God fair? Are we doing what we can to help people get to Jesus? The love of God should compel us. We're supposed to love our neighbors, ourselves, and if our hearts should be filled with His love by the Holy Ghost that's been given within us. We should love the sinners. We're supposed to obey God. He's the one that said, go in all the world with the gospel. So somehow we need to be doing what we can to get it out. So it's a very difficult thing to grasp. Does God hold people accountable that haven't heard? You just got to believe He will. Tony.
I do a lot of thinking about a lot of these things, and I want to tell people, can you all hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to tell people how I resolve this issue in my heart, because I spent a lot of time thinking about these things, and I had to come to answers. So one of the things they showed me about Romans, and they said, well, Romans demonstrates that there is a one God and that He created everything, and I don't have a problem with that, but He doesn't say anything in there about Jesus. So my response to that was, well, that still doesn't solve the problem of you have to actually accept Jesus mm-hmm. in order to get into heaven. That doesn't say in Romans, is it 12, wherever it is, that you have to One. Accept Jesus. It just said God is very apparent, and if you can't see that, you're not giving Him the respect due. So people, then you presented the argument, well, if we just don't tell them, they don't know, and we'll be all right. That makes us disobedient.
That's right.
We know, mm-hmm. and we're supposed to go tell them. So all of the people that are having this discussion, it's really a moot point because they've already heard. They already know, don't they? They're debating about how God's going to handle it. And I came up with a very simple answer. If you believe that God is a just God, then you have to have confidence
right.
that, as I put it, and you heard me say this in Sunday school class, this is God's problem. It's not my problem. And I can't solve that problem. I just have to accept the fact that He's a just God and that He'll come up with a solution to it that's better than anything we can come up with. We debate it and think about it from now until the day He comes again.
That's right. You've got to rely on God's justice and God's love. And you realize He loves them just as more than we do. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
God.
Three in one. That's exactly right. All right. Well, we're out of time, but we'll go through some more accountability issues in the coming weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. We're so thankful we got the chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and we've responded. And we're also around others all around us who's heard it, but they never have responded to it. Help us do our part to be a good witness, to love people the way You love them, to care and to have mercy, and to do our part to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Thank You for Your word, and thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey.